It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm pleased to welcome back to the show U.S. Senator Joni Ernst, a Republican of Iowa. She's also a combat veteran. Senator, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Guy, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I want to get your take first on the president's student loan scheme. I saw that they just announced a few billion more dollars of so-called forgiveness here. From a political standpoint, economic standpoint, all of it, what's your vantage point on this?
Yeah, Guy, the Biden administration is bribing young voters instead of equipping Americans to know the true cost of college. We see this all the time. President Biden's trying to appeal to those younger voters, but it's just an outright bribery. I talked to soldiers, the soldiers I served with, many of them joined the service because of the college reimbursement programs. And now they're saying to me, why the heck did I spend my life in a foxhole in a faraway land fighting for the United States of America when I could have gotten my college for free? So, you know, that's an issue. And then there's folks like my brother who couldn't afford to go to college, so we went straight into the workforce. Now he's paying for people that are making a lot of money for their student debt. So this is wrong all the way around, and Biden needs to relook this.
It sounds like he's not going to, and he's kind of daring the Supreme Court to stop him again. I think that there's a good chance that they will intervene, because last time the problem was he didn't come to Congress. I think this would be a terrible policy, extremely unfair, inflationary, driving up the already sky-high and sort of exploding cost of higher education to begin with. It'd be a terrible idea. Even if he came to Congress and you all got together and passed something like this, it would be legal. It would just be bad. This
Very
happens
bad.
To be, in my mind, bad and illegal, because the Supreme Court last time said you need Congress to do this. Former Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the same thing. Biden does not have authority to forgive student debt, and here he is trying to do it anyway, again.
Right, Guy, this is horrible. You know, he didn't learn his lesson last time. We're going to have to go through this again. But it is horrible policy. And if they get away with this, then what is it next? Is it the mortgage payment? Is it the car payment? What else is he going to forgive? These men and women that sign their name on a dotted line for a loan, in this case a student loan, they need to know and understand that they are obligated to pay that back. So the taxpayer should not be bailing people out on this. And again, it's such bad policy. You're absolutely right, Guy.
Senator Ernst, I saw that you had a tweet yesterday, and it's about not just something that Karine Jean-Pierre said from the White House podium, but John Kirby's made a similar point. You've got this administration trying to argue that the president's support for Israel is ironclad, it is unwavering, it is absolutely consistent. And then they also say out of the other side of their mouth, but if Israel doesn't do X, Y, or Z in their war against Hamas, that Hamas started, of course, with Biden intervening over and over again to pressure the Israelis, like very much to the benefit of Hamas. They treat Hamas like, you know, savages who are never going to be reasoned with, which is true, by the way, but then you can't reason with them. You can't negotiate with them if that's the expectation, the understanding of who they are. All the pressure comes down on Israel with seemingly strings attached, new ones by the day, trying to placate a certain element of the base. And you have these spokespeople for the president saying, oh yeah, no, he's totally with Israel, except maybe not. You describe that as consistently inconsistent. I think that's being charitable. Mm-hmm, what's your view on, if you can even determine what the policy is right now from the president of the United States vis-a-vis our ally, Israel, as they fight this existential war against genocidal terrorists?
Well, let's look at it like this. When Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, it was 100 times worse to to them than our own 9/11. And they lost so many more people as a percentage of their population than we did on 9/11. How would we feel as the United States of America if 6 months in to the war against terror, our friends and allies started telling us, you can't do X, Y, Z, or we won't be with you? So I think we need to apply this to Israel and say, you know what, Israel, these terrorists struck you. You do whatever it takes to make sure your population is safe, and we are going to support you. The Biden administration is an absolute failure on so many fronts when it comes to foreign policy and how we treat our friends and allies. They're not standing with our friends and allies, but instead they're bowing down to all of these autocratic regimes, whether it's Russia, whether it's Iran, who is funding Hamas in their attacks against Israel, Hezbollah, you name it, China significantly as well. There is no strong policy when it comes to foreign affairs and pushing back against these horrible, horrible adversaries and terrorists who are targeting our friends and allies.
And yet we're seeing something very different, especially recently from Biden and the team, because I think they're worried that a certain subset of their voters, sort of hardcore leftists, communists, Islamists, sort of this ragtag group of people who not just hate Israel, but many of them hate Jews. Most of them hate America within that fringe. Biden seems fixated on trying to win them back or win them over because he's concerned about, let's say, Michigan or even Minnesota, where I saw a recent poll had it very close with Biden and Trump in the election. One of the infamous, notorious members of Congress from the state of Michigan is Rashida Tlaib. She represents Dearborn and some other communities. In Dearborn last week, there were chants of death to America in the streets in Dearborn, Michigan. She was asked about that, the congresswoman was, by the chants in her own district by one of our colleagues here at Fox yesterday, and she got very angry, wouldn't condemn the chant, and said she wouldn't talk to Fox because it's all racist and Islamophobic. I wonder what your reaction is to that.
Well, one, you know, she does need to speak out about this. She represents, yes, her district, but her district is in the United States of America. And we have a great nation and a nation that should be defended. And I tell you what, people that would be speaking out in other nations, you know, around the globe, their governments would go after them for things like that. But she's not willing to stand up and defend her country nor the values that we represent here in the United States of America. I am absolutely disheartened about these individuals that are chanting death to America. But let's remember, there are so many more Americans out there that truly believe in our nation, the opportunity that it presents to every citizen and our great value system. But you know what, Congresswoman, you need to stand up and defend your country because this is your country.
She doesn't seem to really care for the country very much based on so much of what she does and what she says. And I mean, I think you're kind to say that you're disheartened by death to America chants. I think it's actually quite scary to hear that many people chanting death to America within our own country. But maybe that's a phobia that she would scold me for if I asked her about it, because she doesn't talk to people like me, apparently. I do want to ask you about, it's actually relevant, FISA. This fight in Congress over reauthorizing FISA. And I understand that there are some concerns among definitely a lot of progressive Democrats, but also certain Republicans as well, about civil liberties and some of the abuses that absolutely have taken place in the past. You know, for example, you know, Russia collusion and that whole thing was a lie. But what isn't a hoax is there are terrorists who would very much like to kill us. We know that's been the case for a long time. They haven't had a big success, thank God, in this country since 9/11. I'm worried about who's coming through the border. I'm worried about death to America chants in our streets. I'm worried about coordination with maybe overseas terrorist groups. When you look at the FISA debate unfolding in the House and then probably coming your way in the Senate at some point, where do you come down on that?
Yes, I really do believe it's important that we move forward on FISA, but do it in a way that codifies the reforms that have been proposed. Very important for my base is to make sure that the legislation that we're working on makes sure that there are no witch hunts out there through FISA, and make sure that they're not targeting Americans, which we know. Now, FISA targets terrorist organizations overseas.
Right,
far. We can't go after people here in the United States. So there is a little bit of confusion out there about what FISA actually does. We are going after foreign entities overseas, not in the United States of America. So there are reforms that are put into place that makes it absolutely clear, no Americans on American soil and so forth. That's really, really important. So if we want to make these reforms and make sure they're in our law, then we should move forward. And I think most Americans would agree that we should be pushing back against terrorists that are outside of the borders and inside the borders.
Yep.
So I think we need to move it forward, Guy.
Yeah. Reforms are necessary. Abuses have happened. The threat is also real, and you've got to keep the American people safe. There has to be a balancing act, and you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think the reforms seem pretty sensible in my mind. We'll see how that goes. I saw there was a tie vote today in the House earlier. Quickly, Senator, we have about a minute and a half left. I know you were recently on the ground in Ukraine. That country is still fighting the Russian aggression and the invasion of that country. And you were down on a CODEL, is what they call it, a congressional delegation, into Ukraine. And do we have the senator? I guess she just dropped. Her phone died. So we have a minute left in the segment, so we won't get to this question with Senator Ernst. But I'll just tell you that she was in Ukraine, and she met with Zelensky. She met with top Ukrainian officials, along with a number of members of Congress. And I think it's important on a bipartisan basis for the United States of America to stand with Ukraine. This is a position I've held for a long time. It's not a blank check. No boots on the ground, but I have said pretty consistently, we've had Jack Keane on this show and others, making a really strong case that it is very much in the vital U.S. interest for Russia to lose in Ukraine, for the Ukrainians to win, taking on the casualties to defend their own country with our help, and also to send that message of Russia's failure in Ukraine to other despots around the world, particularly in Beijing. The Guy Benson Show returns after this short break.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.